having pastored in this sense, if you will, because when I pastored the one church for 6 months, I was with them for 9 months. I filled in for them for 3 months, and then they voted me in. And then they closed the doors of the church 6 months after I was there 6 months as pastor. But they only had Sunday morning services and Wednesday night services. Sunday morning, I mean, it really worked out good because at that time I was in security at the Veterans Nursing Home, and I had to work every other Sunday night. So the Sunday night that I didn't have to work, I'd just go over to Island Ford. But I would preach to them on Sunday morning, and then Wednesday night there's about two of them besides besides my family, maybe three. And we would just pretty much have a prayer meeting like we did tonight and go home. It was a little simple thought, as far as prayer goes. But so really I was only preaching one service a week with them. And I was just praying about a series, if you will. I'd like to do a series maybe on Wednesday nights and just a thought. I'd like to do elemental theology, but that's we'll do that later. I have PowerPoint and I got the projector and the screen and 9 yards of that. But at least through, was getting into Christology, and then I ended my teaching in that when I was in Mississippi. Went through bibliology and theology and Christology, and getting ready to go to pneumatology. But one of these days, I'd like to maybe do that, but just going to keep it a little bit more simpler. And, of course, I thought, I was praying, and the thought crossed my mind about prayer, and as I was unloading my books and putting them on the shelves and just trying to give them, I got all my commentary, the volumes of some of the books together, but over my hodgepodge section, I was just kind of grouping them by size. But I'm going to go back and put some together. I've got some, either put them together by author or put them together by subject, and I'll probably put them together by subject because I've got several on prayer, some on the tabernacle, other different subjects that way. And so that's probably where I'll range it. But I was thinking about prayer and much to be said about prayer. I like what Brother Hanley Milby said about prayer. He's a praying man. And he's written one book based on a sermon and it was the only sermon that he ever had notes with because he actually done research and went to a wildlife habitat and that studied wolves. And he brought a message on wolves and wolves in the church. And they put that in book form, and they kept asking him to write a book on prayer. And he said he'd make a matter of prayer. He'd pray about it. And he said he finally said he got God. He said God gave him the go ahead to preach on prayer. And he said but the book was only to put a book out on prayer, but it was only two words: do it. Amen. And so that's. That's the essence. There's no real formula. There's lots of books on prayer, and there's much to be said about prayer in the Word of God. But, if you're not in the closet, if you're not on your knees or any other position, actually, you can pray. And that's another thing, too. I heard on the radio, I was scanning the dials coming out here and ran across a Christian radio station, Western Arkansas, Eastern Oklahoma, something like that. But they were talking about the upcoming meet you at the pole in public schools, and it's about prayer. And then I've seen, things that, have something about having prayer in schools again. Prayer ain't never got out of schools if they were praying people before, amen? And organized prayer has gotten out of schools. And in today's society, it's a little bit different. When I was in, I remember, and this was after prayer had gotten out of schools. I was in elementary school in the early 70s, and prayer had gotten taken out of school in the 60s, but I still had a second grade teacher that prayed and didn't care what anybody else said. I remember us opening in the morning with prayer, and I remember us praying before we went to lunch. And after I got out of high school and God called me to preach, I looked that teacher up. Even though I did not, she was at a funeral, so she was away from the house, her daughter answered the phone. And I was getting ready to leave town, but I did express to her daughter to pass on to her, thanking her for praying in a public school and leading us in that way. But, an organized prayer, think about organized prayer in school. Organized prayer, they could lead the children to who knows what. But, for us, our children that are in our church that goes to public school, you can still pray in school. It's your right. Amen. And, you know, pray and bow your head over it. I encourage you to do pray over the meal. Yeah, you might get ridiculed for it, but you still have that right. And you can exercise that. Amen. And, you don't have to be out loud. You know, don't have to be out loud. You can just bow your head silently or whatever. You can pray whispering it, or whatever. But, and be an example, be a light. I remember sitting at the, you know, at lunch table with the crowd, and some of them profess to be Christian. I go to church, but then them words will slip, you know. Oh, pardon me, you know. Well, I told one of them one time, this was back some time ago, was in a break room, and somebody slipped, and they seen that I was in there, and they, you know, please excuse me, or whatever. How did they put it? Forgive me. I said, well, I do, but I said, I'm not the one that needs to be forgiven you. And I, you know, it's God, and He's the one that needs to forgive you, and He's the one that listens to everything that you say all the time anyway, even when I'm not in the room. So it kind of made them think a little bit. But we can pray, but I'm not going to go into the series of prayer. Maybe that's a, the Lord seems to be, I think, based on, you know, I keep looking back to what I've preached thus far, and I think that we're going to look at, maybe on Wednesday nights, look at faith. A lot of things. I know Brother Pollard just, Brother Glenn just went through Hebrews, but there's all kinds of other passages of Scripture. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 17 and then also in Luke 17. And I thought that was kind of interesting, but Matthew 17, and you know the story here. The first part of this chapter, they're on the, up on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then, while they were up on the mount, there was a man that brought his son to the disciples. And they could not cure him. So let's pick up reading in verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. If you'll turn to Luke 17, we see another mustard seed passage, but it's not about a mountain, it's about a tree. Luke 17. And I'm probably going to be preaching and bringing a message, or part of this passage in a message down at Pollard, maybe, if the Lord allows me to go that way, that I preached the last Wednesday night that I was in Kentucky, or I'm sorry, not the last Wednesday night, but Wednesday, yeah, 2 Wednesday nights before I was in Kentucky. But this is an interesting, when I was reading this for that message, it was interesting that, and I took. I do have another Bible besides the Scofield. But I took my other Bible besides the Scofield. It's King James, but it was one that marks the paragraphs. And my Scofield don't. And I marked the paragraph in my other Bible in my Scofield, and I noticed that, you know, he's talking about forgiveness here in verse 1 through 4. And then in verse number 5, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And this is just after the discourse on forgiveness. And I ain't got it all put together there, but I thought it was interesting that it was in the same paragraph. And then, verse number 6, or verse number 5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And then he goes into this other parable about service. So, my message tonight is mustard seed faith. And I wish I had my other computer, for it's back in Kentucky, because I had done all this study and much more than what I've got tonight. And it's already saved on that computer, and that's in Kentucky. So, I'm thinking I'm going to go a little bit different way with that, but still try to glean some of the things that I preached before out of mustard seed faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, dear God, for your love, your mercy, and your graces, for the many blessings you've given us. I pray and ask that you guide and direct and service us tonight. Thank you for all that's here. I pray that, Lord, that you would help them to find a blessing in the Word. And, Lord, if they're lost, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, as we prayed them a minute ago, would convict them of their sins and draw them unto thee and save them by thy marvelous grace. And I ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Brother Wiley Cameron took Brother Roloff's place at the People's Baptist Church there in Corpus Christi, Texas, after Brother Roloff died. At least he pastored that church for a period of time. And for a time, when he was pastor there, they would have send Brother Roloff's messages Monday through Friday to the radio station, but Brother Cameron would preach a message Monday through Thursday. Brother Cameron, while he was pastor there and over that ministry, would preach on Fridays. And when he was preaching, and he preached along these lines, and he pointed out that it never says, even though apparently it's implied by many of the different colloquial Jewish, sayings and things like that, as far as the mustard seed kind of pointing to the size. But in your King James Bible, we read it in both these passages, it just says as. It doesn't say the size, but it says as. So mustard seed, the faith as a grain of mustard seed. And have you got that mustard seed with you? So Lisa, all these going away gifts. We get gifts going and gifts coming. And it was a real blessing, has been a blessing. So a sister in our church there gave this to Lisa. She said she was at Hobby Lobby or someplace like that. And the Lord just told her to pick that up and give it to Lisa. Says she's going to need this. So, where is it? You ain't ever taking it out? Can I take it out? All right, I was looking for the hole in the bag. And it just says, all things are possible. And here in the center of this thing, you see that, how big the mustard seed is? Mm-hmm. So it is a small seed, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. And just a small seed. See how little that seed is there in the middle? It's a teeny tiny seed. And so as you're going to put that, and just every now and then, just kind of a little simple reminder, and maybe that's why the Lord let me go with this message here, this mustard seed and the size of it. But it's not necessarily about the size, although we can apply, and many people have applied, the size. But it says the faith as a grain of mustard seed. And Wiley Cameron said that, and he basically gave me some of the thoughts that's in here. Matthew Henry, talking about faith, it says faith is compliance with God. Unbelief is opposition and contradiction to God. And so here in this passage, in Matthew's passage, now earlier the disciples had been given power to cast out devils. They'd been given power to heal. And they come back in talking about all that, how that they had that power and had exercised that power. But obviously somewhere along the way, while Jesus was away from them, and it could have been that I don't know if they, one person pointed out, I said bitterness, but I'm like, I don't want to say they're bitterness, but that there could have been maybe some hurt feelings. Why did Jesus take them three disciples up there and leave us down here? And maybe that kind of started generating some things in their heart to create some unbelief. But there was some unbelief in their hearts, according to Matthew, and that's why they couldn't done it. They had been able to do it in the past, somebody pointed out too in my reading, it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So maybe this particular situation, it was obviously a devil. He rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. So whatever this boy that was possessed with the devil, it would throw him into the fire, it would throw him into the water, and maybe it was just something that took a little bit more than what the disciples had the power to do. But they probably could have had the power if they had believed, obviously, according to the Scripture. Because it says, because of your unbelief. And it's not only maybe some unbelief on the Father's side, but it could have been unbelief there on the disciples' side as well. Because, and all that, because he addressed the whole crowd when he said, verse number 17, when he says, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation." That's a whole bunch of them. Faithless and perverse. How long shall I be with you? You know, and that's another thing too, because, you know, it's easier to have faith when Jesus is right there walking with you. And you can touch him, you can talk to him, but when he's gone, and he knew that he was going to be leaving his disciples behind, would they still have the faith to go on? And do we have the faith to go on when we face these mountains, when we face these adversities, when we face the things that we face day by day? But so it's faith as a grain of mustard seed. Hebrews 11:1, very familiar passage of Scripture, tells us what faith is, the definition of faith there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I looked at the word substance, and that's something that is real. Tangible, not imaginary, something solid, not empty. You can get a hold of. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. So there's hope, but you can grab a hold of faith. And see, there's where a whole lot of people that maybe like Sarah, I keep going back to Sarah because I just seen her wrestle for so long, and in others that and I had children, and that's another thing too. Chris was making comment about something when he first come in, but we had children grow up because he's talking about I understand yours. Children grow up in church, the first Sunday that they could be in church, they was in church, and they were always under the gospel. They were sheltered from the world, we didn't have a lot of the things in our houses, didn't allow things to come in, but especially back in the day, we've let up a little bit, but for a long time, I know a lot of people, my older children's age, that there was no television in the house. They was, they was at church three times a week, and all the other times that we had church, and we had family altar, and the gospel was ever before them and ever presented to them. But they got to a place where they knew where they were lost, but they had never been exposed to a lot of sin, or they had never been, because they hadn't been out in a certain way, they just was hanging on to mom and daddy's righteousness, grandpa being the pastor's righteousness. My children grew up and their grandfather was our pastor. So, and I was a preacher too. And so that's what they knew. And so they knew that they were lost and they knew that they needed to be saved, but they had I used to joke around because we had the radio, program Unshackled. And we finally put them off of the radio station because it was like a 30-minute broadcast, but it was 25 minutes of glorifying. It turned into 25 minutes of glorifying the sin that they was in. And then the last 5 minutes, it talked about their salvation. Our children, it's just glorying in the sin. I was a dope head. I was a this. I was a that. I was a what? For 25 minutes. And then, whenever they got saved, of course, it was a live broadcast out of the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, Illinois, and they have a live organ. It was a live radio drama. So whenever the salvation was supposed to take place, you heard the organ. Our children that grew up in church, I used to put it this way. I said they were waiting for the organ music. You know what I'm saying? Because they were waiting for some spectacular something, and it was just belief. I got off on this, but I was thinking about this. It was mentioned a little earlier in Brother Glenn's prayer. In John chapter 3, most people know verse 16. Amen. Of course, it's a discourse of Nicodemus all the way through 21. But verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I keep going. I always try to keep going. Verse number 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Here's verse 18. Here we see the belief again, that faith again. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not, that's that unbelief that we read about over there in Matthew, that opposition and contradiction to God. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So a lot of people know verse 16, but verse 18, and I go to that often. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I preached a message entitled Condemned Already. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. If you're born, you're headed to hell because of Adam. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and because of their sin, the whole world is condemned already, because we have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. But God sent His Son. He made a way. We stand guilty before God, and the punishment is death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Acts 20:21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's one. We serve one God. He manifests Himself. In other words, He shows Himself in three different persons. So sometimes He shows Himself as God the Father. Sometimes He shows Himself as God the Son. Sometimes He shows Himself as God the Holy Spirit. He manifests Himself. All right? So our sin is against God the Father. That's why repentance has to be toward Him. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it was toward the Father. But God sent His only begotten Son. And that's where the belief has got it. He died on the cross. And it's just faith in Him. Back one page over in verse number... Oh, I done turned my Bible. I didn't mean to do that. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And what that is a story, for those that don't know, it's a story in the Word of God where the children of Israel had sinned, and God sent fiery serpents among them, and they were biting them, and many of them was dying. Many of the children of Israel was dying, so they went to Moses and said, Moses, please intercede on their behalf. I'm paraphrasing. And called upon God, and God told Moses, here's what you do. He says, I want you to go, and I want you to put a brazen serpent. Make a serpent of brass, which is a type of judgment, by the way, and put it on a pole. And just stand it up and tell them, anybody that looks to the serpent of brass. Now, everybody is repulsed. We heard a serpent story the last time we were here. When we found a dried serpent that was dead, it was about that long, in the house that we were staying in. I looked down and I said, well now, he'd been dead and dried, mummified, whatever. And then we heard the real live serpent story. But anyway, but we're repulsed naturally. When you see a snake, you're like, whoa! Even though there's some good snakes, believe it or not. But the initial sight of them, so here, the snakes are among the people. They're biting them and they are dying from their bite. And Moses saying, look at this serpent on this pole and you'll live. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But if by faith they did that, then they lived. And as the serpent was lifted up, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood as the payment for the world's sins. And belief in that is what gets us to heaven. Is what buys us the, well, it's the gift is eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Like I said, I don't want to go off on that, but somebody needed that tonight. Amen. So we're going to be in Luke, back to the mustard seed faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so, and that's belief. Like I said, it's compliance with God. It's believing what God's Word says, which is what I really like about elemental theology, because you establish that this book is God's Word, and what is written in it is what God says. This is a holy book, and there's so much evidence that points to it. Can't be nothing more than a holy book. And when you believe that this is God's Word, that's where your first belief. And see, the devil was a smart character. He couldn't change God's Word that's forever settled in heaven. So what he did is he got an NIV alongside of it, and an RSV, and an ESV, and an ABC, and all them other, you know, all them other books. So he said, oh, these are easier to read. These are just as good as. And that's where he got people sidetracked. Because he got them away from God's true Word. Amen. For the English-speaking people, which is the King James Bible. Amen. Mustard seed. The faith of mustard seed. I, as I've said before, want to see Sooner Rose go forward. We kind of established that already in our preaching. But it's going to take faith. Sister, we wound up... I kind of had Monday in my mind a little bit differently, but everybody kind of showed up and they left, which is fine. We was getting to hang out and let's eat. They gone. So then I had to go to the library and put my job in, and then Miss Pam and Brother Glenn come over and they helped us, and then I was really hungry, and I was like, so we went out to eat. So while we was out to eat, then they was talking about the church. And how that you had already looked into maybe upgrading and what it was, you know, what all would have to be done to bring it up to code and everything. You know, handicapped bathrooms, paved parking lot, and so on and so forth. Well, I said, and this was my choice. Well, that's something to pray about. So, you know, and I'd like to see some things done. And I think that we can see some things done. I think it's a mountain, but I think we see it move. I think it's, you know, a sycamine tree, but I think we could see it moved if we have the right kind of faith. I know of a church. I could take you to the church. I don't know where the church is right now, but I could take you close. I can find the church. But I know a church in Mont Eagle, Tennessee. When I was with them, they was meeting in a little storefront property, and he was broken that night. We just popped in. I think it was a Wednesday night. And the pastor was broken and shared with us that him and his wife had been married this amount of years. I think they had some miscarriage, or maybe they never had conceived at all, but that was a real burden on their heart. And I shared a story with them about my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and what God had done for them. And then, you know, told them we'd be praying and so on and so forth. And later on, they conceived. I don't know how many they got now, but so it was a small work, and he was having to work a job, and he would take his lunch. He would just pull down the road from where he was from. There was a field, and there was a pull off there, and he would pull off, and he would just eat his lunch and read his Bible and pray. And he said the Holy Spirit told him to start praying about that field. And he didn't understand why, because they're just a little small. They would like to have their own place, but he said, okay. So he started praying about that field for the church. And he prayed, and then God impressed him to have the men in on it. So he told the men. He said, I don't know why, but God told me to pray and took them down there. And then all the men of the church prayed. I forget, it was 5 acres, 10 acres, something like that. They're on Mont Eagle, Tennessee. So after they prayed, then they got to inquiring who it belonged to. Come to find out, it belonged to a fella down in Florida. And that fella in Florida had inherited that piece of property. So, somehow, I guess as inquiry was being made, they approached the fellow in Florida about buying that piece of property and wanting to know what he would want for it. And that fellow in Florida gave them that property. And then that story got out among churches, and there was a church that had quite a bit of money in savings and gave them $10,000 to start the church building on the property. And that was just a matter of prayer and faith. And I said that I can take it to the people, that substance of things hoped for. See what I'm saying? That is somebody's faith that was put in action, that they have got real, they can go, they can touch what God sent in. They can testify of how God worked. And I know them, so I have heard the testimony, and although I've never seen the church, but I know the story, and there's other stories that I could tell. But that's one story that comes to my mind, and so I know that if God, and God is no respecter of persons, that if God could do it for the little church there on Mount Eagle, then God could do it for this little church here in Midwest City. Amen. Amen. You know, because we're talking about our fellowship, we're talking about the April meeting, we're talking about all kinds of things, you know. You know, my mind is bigger, and my mind, and hopefully my faith is just as big. Amen. But anyway, I'd like to see things done, and I think that's where, if we can get in gear and get in line, and we're all of the same mind and the same accord, like the first century church was in the book of Acts. And we can all, and we all believe, and we all pray for the same, and we pray fervently, and again, faith and prayer goes together, as we read there in Matthew chapter 17. This mountain moving type faith comes not but by prayer and fasting. But he says, if you can, you can not only cast this devil out of this child, but you could take that mountain and you say, I need you to move mountain, and the mountain would move. Heard of another story talking about a paved parking lot. Heard of another story of a church on the side of a mountain. And they didn't have no place to go because they had mountain. It was a flat spot on the side of a mountain, and then at the back of their parking lot, it went up and up and up. And no place to go. Because in the front of the parking lot went down. So they needed a bigger parking lot. So they got to praying, Lord, send us a bigger parking lot. So time went on, and then they was putting in the new mall down off the mountain, and the contractors needed some dirt. So they approached the church and said, Can we take some of that dirt behind your church? And they said, sure. And we'll pay you for it. So they prayed for a bigger parking lot. The contractors come up and moved the mountain, literally, and then paid them for what the dirt they moved, and they had enough to pay the parking lot. That's how God works. Amen. So, tangible. It's the substance of things hoped for. What are we going to hope for, you know, in the future here at Sooner Rose Baptist Church? I'm wanting to see, this whole list, I wrote it on the back of my outline tonight. So this whole list here of sons and daughters and son-in-laws, grandchildren, you know, siblings and other people that are lost. Some of them has been here before. Some of them, they're not here anymore. I'd like to see them again. We were talking about the parking lot out here the other day, and how many, you know, how it's a parking lot for parking space for every three people that could sit. So I opened up the gate tonight. I had a key. Hallelujah. Amen. And I come in, was looking around. And I said, help me out, Jesse. And he said, what? I said, let's see how many of me can I sit on this pew. And I can fit six of me on that pew. I know we can get a lot more if they're smaller people. We'll just go with my size, all right? So six times the 20 big pews in here, that's 120. So I did my calculating, all right? So anyway, and then not counting these little pews. But just kind of doing all that. So I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway, I was just seeing out how that paved parking lot, that's where I was going with that. So I was just like saying, So I did all the calculations. So I said, I'm just thinking about it, praying about it. But we can see great mighty things done. Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'd like to see all these pews be like it was in April all the time. Yeah. Amen. What a blessing that would be. Amen. Some of these loved ones that we're praying for and see them come on in. Well, so I've got 3 points, finally. Faith of the mustard seed. Faith of the mustard seed. So there's a couple more passages of Scripture, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 13, that talks about the mustard seed. And it does talk about the size of the mustard seed. Matthew chapter 13, in verse number 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. Now, I showed you what the size of it was, right there in the middle of that. A grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and cometh to and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. As I was looking up some stuff about the mustard seed, I seen photos of a man standing like this with his hand up, and the mustard seed was above his hand. So that mustard plant, right? That's a little seed. Turned into the greatest of the herbs. It grows quite large from this little teeny tiny seed. Made me want some mustard greens. I said, Anyway. And so it becomes a big, a lot of the herb gardens, you can put in little flower boxes outside your window, because they don't get that big. But obviously the mustard does. It gets to be quite large. In Mark chapter 4, we see pretty much the same thing, Mark's account. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. In Luke 13. Faith of the mustard seed. Luke 13 and verse 19. Verse 18. Then he said unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into a garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Now, so that's the size. So the faith of the mustard seed. So if I was this little mustard seed and I was put up next to a peach pit, a peach seed, I would seem quite insignificant. Even a watermelon seed, I would be quite insignificant. But you put me in the ground and I'm going to get bigger than at least a watermelon vine, obviously. Not as big as a peach tree, but from all the other herbs, I'm going to get bigger. And one of the things Mr. Wiley Cameron, I mentioned him earlier, pointed out, who all's got any paved parking lots or driveways? You go to some of these blacktop, sometimes concrete, but it's mainly asphalt driveways. You see a brand spanking new, and you watch them put it down, and it's hot. And you think nothing can live under that. But by and by, you'll see this asphalt to start cracking up. And then you'll see this grass start poking its head through this asphalt. And the way that Mr. Wiley Cameron pointed out, Preacher Cameron pointed out, it's this faith as a mustard seed is the fact of, even though I'm small, I'm going to push through adversity. I've seen 4 inches, 6 inches of asphalt and grass just busted up. And so that's what he was talking about. Not necessarily the size, having faith that little. No, we don't have faith that little. We have faith as that grain of mustard seed. In other words, you put that faith in the ground and that faith springs forth and sprouts forth, it's going to grow into something bigger than what it is. And that's the as a grain of mustard seed, is when we faith that mountain, when we need that sycamine tree moved, we just keep believing we keep hoping and we keep trusting in God to see that prayer taken care of, that need taken care of, that lost loved one saved, that sickness taken care of, whatever the need might be. We keep holding on and we keep pressing forth and we keep pushing through the adversity that might be against us. And that's that faith of the mustard seed. And then real quick, the fervor of the mustard seed. You said fervor. I looked up mustard plant. Mustard, a plant of the genus Cinnabis, and its seed, which has a pungent taste, and I didn't know this, and is a powerful stimulant. I thought, forget coffee in the morning. We'll just chew on some mustard seed. Hey, man, that'll get me going. But if I chew, I used to have a big bottle of mustard seed at Island Ford, and if you put some in your mouth and start chewing on them, I mean, it's pretty stout. It's got a kind of a hot taste to it. You know, I mean, you have prepared mustard on your hot dogs, and you understand that, but it's a crushed mustard seed put in with vinegar or water, and it'll bring out that pungent taste. And so I said the fervor of the mustard seed, since it's a stimulant, and it's got that strong taste, and that's the way our faith should be, like the mustard seed. It should be fervent. It should have some fervor about it. Not just come against adversity, but I mean, regardless of the adversity, or maybe how long you've been praying about it, just keep on believing. You know, and it's funny because, you know, and I've heard pointed out, we believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, as I pointed out earlier, and we can put our faith in Him for our salvation. But so many people after salvation can't believe Him for the water bill, can't believe Him for the groceries, can't believe Him for... I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about the children of God that can call, like I said earlier, that cry of His child. They can come right down here and say, I remember the first time I prayed food in. I had moved off base. I was still in the Air Force, but I knew that I was getting out. So I went ahead and I planned on staying in Middle Georgia for a while to try to figure out what God wanted me to do next. So I moved off base, but it took all that I had for the deposit, the first month's rent behind the deposit, turning on all the utilities. It took everything I had. I had all that taken care of, but I had about 12 quarts of green beans that Nana and Mama had canned on the shelf. I had a gallon of milk, and I had some light bread. That's what I had to live on until 2 weeks down the road when I got paid again. And I said, Lord, I appreciate that I've got some green beans, but I'd like to have some meat to go with it. It's going to be a long 2 weeks. Green beans and light bread. So it was during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. There was 5 military in my office that went to Desert Storm. I stayed behind. So while they were gone, then they were doing a reconstruction on base, and until some of the civilian employees got put somewhere else, they put them in my office. So there was like 4 men. They were helping us out what they could, but they were in my office, civilians. One of them's name was Ralph. I can't think. Cohen. Ralph Cohen said he was a part of a hunting club and deer season was getting ready to start. And he said, the next day or something, he goes, "Do you like deer meat?" I might have had it once in my whole life at that time. I said, "Sure, I like deer meat." And he goes, "I tell you what, I'm in a hunting club, and I got a buddy that's wanting to get last year's meat out of his freezer so we can put this year's meat in." He goes, "You got coolers?" I said, "I do." He said, "Well, I'll get my coolers, go pick that up, and I'll bring you some deer meat." I said, "Praise God." So, the next day or next day, 60 pounds of deer meat prepared in
chop steak, prepare, you know, in the all on the roast, the whole nine yards. So I mean, that was the first time. And you talk about increasing some faith, amen. It was a whole lot easier come next time to pray for food in because God had done it, done, went and done it. Amen. And so he told me how to cook it and so on and so forth. And then it was amazing because you never know. I'll still remember we had a little vestibule, a little vestibule. And the inside door stayed open all the time. The outside door was a glass door. And I remember as he was headed out, he had the door open. He looked back into the office. He said, well, tomorrow deer season starts. He said, I'll be in a deer stand tomorrow morning. I'll see you Monday. And he left. We got word. My supervisor called me on Saturday that Ralph Cohen, he talked about it. He had a high deer stand. He actually had a platform built around a tree. He said, I can lay up there. He said, his daddy, so Ralph was like 50, 52, I think. And he went up there. It come noon. He hadn't come back in from the deer stand. So his daddy went out. His gun was still hanging on the rope, dangling from the tree. And he had climbed up the tree. He tied his gun off, climbed up the tree, and just killed over dead with a heart attack. He said he was going to see me Monday. He didn't see me Monday. God used him right before he died to give me 60 pounds of deer meat. And it was amazing, and I'll never forget that. But you never know when your time's coming. And I, Ralph, like I said, it went for him. But that fervor of the prayer, just being able to, that powerful stimulant, just keep on. And then the flavor of the mustard seed. See, knowing what I know about that church in Mont Eagle, Tennessee, knowing I have a story that I put faith to the test and I've seen it happen in my life and that flavor, then it just, you know what I mean, I like some mustard on my hot dog. I like a mustard potato salad. Now, you know, mine's yellow. I like mine a little bit more yellow than some people do, so I have to back it off for other people. But anyway, and just add some extra for me. But mine's yellow, mashed potatoes, and it's hot. I like it hot. Hot mashed potato salad, mustard. And then it gets cold, it's good cold. And so it's just good leftover. It's good all the time. Amen. Now I'm making myself hungry. It is time to go. But the flavor of the mustard seed. Amen. You know, when you've tasted faith, then you want to share it with us. We were talking about recipes last night. We've been talking about food all, the night before last, and we were just talking about food all week. And I said, I'm going to be this big. I'm going to be a great preacher. Amen. But I still got to think about this. I got to slow down because I'm going to be big. I mean, if these people cook like they do, they talk, one meal a day or this fasting and praying. One meal, a feast, and then fast 6 days. That's what I'm going to have to do just to say I've been losing. But I like food and I like to cook and I like to feast. Amen. I've got a plate. You seen my plate? Many of you seen my plate. Some of you haven't seen my plate. I have to bring it in. But my plate's this big around. Honest. Lisa finally just got it up on a little stand on the breakers rack in the living room. So my plate's handy. But I got a plate. And I like to eat. But you want to share that. Hey, brother. This restaurant down here. Looks like I was talking about that ribeye that I had last night. Or this dish or that recipe, and you share that with others. The flavor of the mustard seed, you know, once you've experienced the faith, then you want to share it with others. And not only we can experience, hey, God did this for me in taking care of my meal. God did this for me in taking care of my finances. And I can give you stories of all that, but God did this for me in saving me out of my sin and from my sin. And we should share that. We should be excited about that. And we should say, look, this is what the world needs. It's flavorful. Amen. Amen. And we want to share that. And so the faith of the mustard seed, it's little. But it grows up into a big plant. But you got to put it to work. You got to put our faith to work. You got to put it in the ground. You know, I seen, they probably won't plant, but I seen it at Walmart when we was buying some other spices. A little bottle of mustard seed. But then I seen mustard seed in a pack, go down to the feed store, and you go and you get your turnip greens, your turnip seed, or your whatever. I like turnip greens and I like mustard greens. I like mixing them. Anyway, you got to put it in the ground. You know, I've got seed in the freezer back in Kentucky. Been there a long time. They ain't going to do no good in the freezer. They're not going to do any good until you take it out and put it in the ground. And our faith ain't going to do it until we put it to work. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. You have to put it in the ground. And when you do, then it'll grow. And it'll grow into a great big... I ain't even got in on the kingdom of God part. But it's a small herb. It's a small seed, but it gets bigger than all the herbs. And that's where our faith should be. And as we go forward, sooner rose, we're going to face some adversities. But as we go forward, let's pray. We got a prayer list. Hey, let's pray. Pray for all these that's lost. Needs to be in the house of God. Needs to be saved. But then serving God. But then some, I don't know, maybe they've made profession. Maybe they are saved, but they're just out. Let's see them. Let's pray that they'll get back in. And then let's put our feet to our prayers and go and try to get them in. But it starts on our knees. Brother Hall, my pastor for over 26 years, his visitation program was a little bit different than most. We did actually have a Thursday night kind of deal where we'd meet at the church and we'd go out and just cold knock on doors. I sold vacuum cleaners for 3 months between the Air Force and moving to Kentucky and working in the Christian school and the radio station. 100% commission, I am not a salesman. I'm too honest. But God allowed me to pay my bills during that 3 months selling Electrolux vacuum cleaners. But during that time, where was I going with that? I do that all the time. On this thing of vacuum cleaners. Vacuum cleaners. Maybe it's just that God showed me that I could, that He took care of me. Like I said, I'm not a vacuum cleaner salesman, but I sold vacuum cleaner, 100% commission, learned to live by faith. Go out. Oh yeah, I know. That's what it was. Talking about witnessing. Like a vacuum cleaner salesman, you don't have any appointments. So what do? Hello! Okay. I'm from Electra. May I show you my poof? A lot of cold, you know, cold, it's called cold knocking. You get a lot of that. Every now and then, yeah, I got a Electrolux. Do you need any bags or whatever? Say maybe sell a bags or something. My Electrolux is 20 years old. Well, can I show you a new one? You know, you might get in, but it's always better when you had an appointment. They knew you was coming. So, those cold knocking, I mean, it's one thing to just cold knock and pull out a track or a packet or something and say, you know, I'm from Center Rose Baptist Church and we'd like to invite you down to the services if you don't have anything. That's one thing. But as far as dealing with them, talking to them about their souls, you might get in and actually have a conversation with some. Most of the time, they're not ready for you. They didn't know you was coming. Like I said, see, I got my non-Mormon shirt on. It's gray, not white. But they see a couple of fellas get out of the car. They got shirts and ties on. They're like, they got to be a preacher. They got to be a church. And they just shut you down. So Brother Hall's philosophy on that was to pray. And pray. And just come in. We can do this on Wednesday, Saturday nights. We can do this on Wednesday nights. We can do this Monday through Friday at home. Pray. And say, God, lay somebody on my heart to go talk to. Because if God, the Holy Spirit, will lay a name on your heart, then God is working on the other end as well. And then when you go, God clearly says, go see that person by name. Okay. And then God's done working on that person. You'll find when you get there, hey, yeah, I don't know what it is, but I've really been thinking about church lately. Well, really? Don't know what it is, huh? See, it's a whole lot easier to be able to talk to somebody that's halfway prepared to be talked to than just flat out cold. So if we pray that God would lay people on our hearts and pray that God would open up doors for a witness and then be sensitive to God whenever He opens the door and not only sensitive but be faithful to go when He says to go, that's when we'll see things done. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray and ask that You'll guide and direct us. The invitation, Lord, help us. Got so many rabbits this evening, and I pray Your forgiveness if it wasn't of You. But, Lord, I pray that You will increase our faith, not only individually, but as a whole. And if there's someone here that has never exercised or put their faith in Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for our sins, sacrifice for the sins of the world, I pray that tonight will be the night. Lord, that they'll come, they'll repent, repentance toward God, that they'll say that they're sorry toward You of their sin and their sinful lifestyle, and then trust You, trust Jesus Christ to wash away their sins. Amen. May the night be the night. And I ask and pray that You bless the invitation. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. It's the fiend of